great pastors. Come on, give it up for your pastors. They do a great job in this house, leading this church. Breaking open West Africa for C3.
It's true.
You are the guys who are breaking. This church is breaking open West Africa for our movement. It's if you guys weren't going in there doing what you're doing, we would not have churches from West Africa in our movement today. So far we've got two, which is awesome, and it's growing and growing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Still look jet-lagged. I got back from Africa. Don, I got back from Africa on Monday afternoon. So we've had a few more days to lose our jet lag, but I don't think Nigel's lost his jet lag yet. He's looking jet lagged. Who knows the jet lag feeling? It's not a great feeling, is it? Who knows the feeling of the presence of God? Who knows the feeling of the presence of God? Is that young Jared down here? Good to see you, mate. Don't stand up. It's okay. It's cool. Describe for me in a couple of words what it feels like, the presence of God. Just a word or two.
I'd say heaven.
Oh, I like heaven. That's cool. Who else put their hand up? Okay, not going to put their hand up again now. Okay. Tell me a couple of words. What's the presence of God feel like for you?
Probably just one word, magnificent.
Magnificent, I like that. That's a nice word. Anyone else? Who would like to tell me what it feels like, the presence of God? No one's looking at the pastor now. Everyone's ignoring me. Charlie, we've been married for 34 years. This is my first wife. I am her first husband, just to clarify that.
Joy.
Joy, I like that. Happiness and joy, the presence of God. A couple of ladies down the aisle. Can I get past you there? Thank you.
Calm.
Oh, I like that, calm. Who likes calm? Who prefers chaos? I like a bit of both, but calm is really good. This lady in the middle had your hand up as well.
Peacefulness.
Peacefulness. That is so good. Julian Beetham's down the back looking down, not looking at me, so I'm going to ask him, aren't I?
Awesome.
Awesome. It's cool. You can all look back at me now. I'm not going to ask anyone else. The presence of God is a remarkable experience. I think it's comparable to other things. I think you can compare it to other things. Because we know what it's like to feel extremely happy. You know, you go through various experiences in life. I remember the day my children got married. Two different days, but I remember those days. I remember the great joy of those days. I remember just feeling ecstatic. Not just because I was getting my fridge back, but just the joy of that day. I've had experiences you would have too, with a sense of deep peace and just rest and calm. Maybe after a storm has gone in your life, and you just feel this great sense of rest. I think there's also a thing called, I don't know if you've experienced. I experienced this once in sport called a second wind. Have you ever experienced a second wind? Who's ever had that in sport? It's a wonderful experience. I remember I scored 100 once in playing cricket. And I remember, you know, I got tighter and tighter. And sometime late in the innings, I just had this surge of energy that I just felt like I was starting again. I thought, that's what the second wind is. I've heard about this thing. I've heard about this experience. There's also an experience you have when you're completely focused on something that you really enjoy. It might be a hobby. Maybe surfing. I found this surfing when I was a teenager, surfing. Is all you're focused on is the next wave coming through and catching that wave. And they describe that feeling as being in the zone. And everything else melts away. Who's ever had that experience doing something? I get out surfing this afternoon. Probably not good waves out this afternoon. But there are different things that compare to the presence of God. But I don't think the results of those things goes as deep and are as significant as the impact of the presence of God into our lives, into our world. And today I want to take you into the Bible and look at some reasons for experiencing the presence of the Lord. Because theologically, the Bible has two positions about the presence of God, and they work in kind of tandem. They work together. One is that God is with you everywhere, anywhere, all the time. The Lord is with you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. You are never bereft of God's presence. He is always with you. But there's undoubtedly the truth that in the Old Testament, And in the New Testament as well, in both Old Covenant and New Covenant, people would tangibly feel and experience God being with them. You see it in the book of Acts time and again where the Lord would turn up and would reveal himself, maybe to Stephen when he's getting stoned, getting killed. Maybe it was when with Paul, when Paul was on the way to Damascus and the Lord interrupted that whole deal. Maybe on the day of Pentecost when they were so overcome with the presence of God, they looked like drunk people, you know, staggering around, slurring their speech. No inhibitions. So there is this great truth in the scripture that God is with you all the time. You don't have to feel him for him to be with you. But there are meant to be occasions when you feel God, when you experience God. And some schools of Christian thought don't hold strongly to that. I don't know why. Maybe some people have gone overboard with the experience and got too, you know, kind of fixated on that. If I don't feel God, he's not with me. Some people go to that extreme, which you want to avoid that extreme. But you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That would not be a good thing to do as a parent. But in a metaphoric sense, it's not good just to throw. Well, just because some people abuse that, you know, I'm going to get rid of the whole lot. Don't do that. Be a person who says, God, I want to experience you. I want to connect to you. I want to feel you. I want to know at times that you're here with me. So if you've got a Bible, you guys put this text on the screen, which is fine, absolutely cool. But if you've got a Bible and you want to follow along with me, come with me to Exodus. I'm just going to give you just a few reasons why we should feel and experience the presence of God. First one is Exodus 33, verse 14. This is Moses is talking with the Lord about the children of Israel and what's going on here. And there's this great verse in Exodus 33, 14. These are good verses to write down. And I love you guys are doing the SOAP experience, scripture, observation, application, prayer. Is that SOAP? Is that what it is? Yeah, it's great. I love it. I really enjoy doing it myself and don't do it as formally with a book and so on. But every time I read the scripture, I'm coming to the scripture, I want to see where it fits in my life and pray out of it and apply it. And so on. So you might want to write down these scriptures just to meditate and cogitate on, think on this week. Exodus 33, 14. The Lord says to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. A beautiful word. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Every now and again in this life, I get agitated. It's a horrible thing to feel nervous, isn't it? You get that agitation going. And when you've got a deal going on in your life, you can kind of get agitated on the inside and your thoughts can get going. I remember I had an experience last year and I'm going to mention a few encounters I've had with the Lord, but I need to tell you, I don't have these every day. In fact, I don't have them every week. The truth is I don't have them every month. God seems to just bring certain encounters at certain times for me to experience him. Now, I experience the Lord regularly, his presence regularly, but sometimes some encounters are really significant, and you don't need them every week. You shouldn't need them every week. You have faith, you have the Word of God, you have church, you have friends. There's a whole bundle of ways to walk the Christian life. But every now and again, God will turn up in a meaningful and significant way. And if you've walked with the Lord for any time, you will know this, and you'll have your own journey and your own experiences of this. And last year, I was really agitated about a decision I'd made. And it was a good decision, really good decision. I won't tell you the whole details, but I was kind of meditating and thinking on that decision. I was in a time of prayer at home, and I was sitting in my little study at home, and I got a nice IKEA comfortable chair that I pray in. I like to sit with the Lord. It's kind of like a familiar, comfortable place. And my heart, and I'm in this time of prayer, and I'm going over my decision. Now, my decision's made, locked away, done and dusted, but I'm rethinking the decision. Don't often do this, but I was doing it. I was going back and rethinking. Man, I wonder if I'd chosen another option. I wonder if I'd done this. I wonder if I'd done that. I wonder if that option would have been better. And I was reworking the decision, even though it was done and dusted and decided and I was way past it. But it was like I was going back in time and trying to recreate the whole scenario again in another way. And the more I did this, the more agitated I got. it wasn't a good thing to do because I couldn't reverse the decision at all. So it was kind of dumb. I was just doing... Anyone do dumb stuff? Yeah, hand up the back. I see that hand. Yes, first hand up. And I can feel myself getting agitated and I'm feeling... And I'm starting to think, man, I think I made a wrong decision. And I start to talk myself into a real bad space. And then out of nowhere, and it's true, out of nowhere, there's whoop, presence of God. I go, whoa. Wow. Now, I know the presence of the Lord. I've been a Christian. Next February, it'll be 40 years walking with Jesus Christ. How cool is that? And I look so young. I came to the Lord when I was minus three. And I'm there, and I'm sitting, and I sense just like that. Voom. Atmosphere in the room change. And it's the presence of God. And I go, whoa. And I felt this unusual experience, and sometimes these are different. But I felt like the Lord put his face in my face. You know, that expression, you got into my face? You know, and I kind of, Hayden Ballantyne did a little bit of that last night. Just a cheeky little in your face and got hit in the face for it. Someone gets in your face, and I felt that the Lord got in my face. And Holy Spirit said to me, that decision you made was my option for you. And I went, ooh, I think I better stop thinking all these other options. I think, you know what, Lord? All that other thinking, all that other agitation just melts away. When the presence of God comes, the presence of God comes to give you rest so that your mind will dial down. Your emotions will come to a place of calmness and peace. And you get a sense that, oh God, you're in charge here. It's okay. There's a number of you here this morning who are feeling agitated about a situation. Some of you have got a thing in your family that is agitating. I'd just like you to stand up. Got something agitating you, just like you stand up. Some of you got family scenarios that are just, it's almost like you got a ball bouncing up and down inside you. Like, I just can't get any peace. Just stand, close your eyes. Just kind of reach your hands out just comfortably. You don't have to kind of stretch right up or anything. Just reach your hands out comfortably for the Lord. The presence of God is your portion. Presence of God is your portion. Presence of the Lord is your portion. Presence of the Lord is your portion. It's actually, what I'm saying right now is a prophetic word to each one of you. The presence of the Lord is your portion. God will minister to that agitation right now in the name of Jesus. My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. God is going to give you rest today. Rest today. Father, we take this care, we cast it upon you. We give you the situation that is causing agitation and trouble. Just where you stand, just receive the presence of the Lord. Receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Receive his touch. Receive his peace. Just as God said to Moses, Moses was very agitated about Israel, what was going on. God said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you my rest. Just let that presence of Jesus Christ calm you, settle you. A couple of you right now are actually going to get, you're going to just see something in the spirit. You're going to just get a picture. It's a picture of rest. It's a picture to give you rest. It's a picture for you to meditate upon. It's a picture for you just to reflect upon, just like that word of the Lord. Every time my mind would go back to, oh, what if I'd done that option? I'd go back to what the Lord said, this is my option for you. Don't rethink this. Just accept my word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. There's another scripture I want to share with you this morning. Over to Psalm 16, verse 11. Let me just say that you know, the presence of the Lord in that encounter for me, the presence of the Lord turned up when I was praying. That's no coincidence. If you're going to be a person of the presence of God, if you're going to be a person who experiences the presence of God, you cannot be prayerless. I'm not talking about, you know, just kind of the, you know, the easy Christian prayer you pray in the car on the way down to the shops. You know, the kind of the quickie that you send up to the Lord as you fly out the door with the muesli bar stuffed in your mouth. That's called breakfast. I'm not talking about that sort of prayer. I mean, some days that's cool. It's not like a bondage. I've got to get up and pray and seek God every day and have an hour or whatever. But if your life consists of a prayerlessness where it's just here and there, Lord, here and there, just fly a prayer every now and again, and there is no solitude time, if there is no aside time, if there is no time when you back out of everything, get offline, even, oh my God forbid, turn off your mobile phone. Oh no, you've got to be joking. Just get offline for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes and say, Jesus, just put some nice music on like I've been singing today. Just put that on. Keep your phone on. Put it on the phone. Turn it on silent for every call, but have the music going. Get offline and just have some music and just worship God. Sit with the Lord. One of the reasons people don't experience the presence of God is they're prayerless. They're prayerless. And week after week after week, there is no solitude. This is actually good for your health, actually. To actually take time out to slow down, to pray. It's good for your mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, physical health. It's just good for your body. Just live such frenetic lives. I can feel some of you just relaxing as I talk about this. Kind of like, that feels good. Can we do that now? I'm not going to let you do it. You'll drift off to sleep and I want to preach. But if you'll take some time, some solitude, some alone time with Christ, then he has the opportunity to bring you into the experience of his presence. Such a good thing. Amen. Thank you. Everybody say amen. Good. Thank you. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You fill me with joy in your presence. The Jewish people, their whole belief system around the Messiah, around the Christ, is that the Christ could not be a grumpy person. Christ wouldn't be a grumbling, unhappy, sort of person. The Christ, the Messiah, was a person who was coming with joy, is happy. They actually believed that the Spirit, the anointing, the Christos, the Messiah, could not have the anointing, could not have the Spirit, unless he was joyful and happy. The presence of God, I believe God is attracted to joy. You know, the reason we sing in church, why do we sing in church? So we can kind of have, is it Eunice? Is that her name? Eunice, who was up here at 15, where's Eunice? Oh, she's shy. That's very cute. So Eunice can get up here and display her gift and talent. Is that why we do that? Well, that's one reason. I love to see talented, gifted people on a platform singing. I'm so glad the people in this church can sing who have the microphones. I'm so glad that the guys on the instruments can actually play them. I like the fact that there's an expression here of gift and talentedness in the church. But the primary reason that we sing, and I was so thrilled, I was watching, I kind of watching everybody gather, and you guys have such a buzz in your foyer. It's got everyone's out there chatting, and such a kind of connected sort of church. But as the music started, everyone just coming in, and I'm thinking, man, it's about 2 minutes past 10, and pretty well the foyer's empty. People are coming in. How cool is that? You guys are good at this. You know how to do this. I'm preaching to the choir. It's always easier to preach to the choir than to the unconverted. And you guys know how to sing. You know how to praise. You know how to worship. That means you are a candidate for the presence of God. In his presence, there is joy. When you get joyful, it's kind of like a two-way thing. In his presence, you get joyful. When you get joyful, the presence of God comes. Every Sunday when you come to church to sing, set your heart to sing with everything you've got. You know, I get to sit on front rows because I'm a pastor. That's what pastors do for some reason. They've got the reserved card for me, like I'm a reserve sort of person. I don't know why they put me in the reserve section. I've never been reserved, never will be. They get me in the front rows. You know, when I finish preaching one day, which will happen, and I'm not pastoring anymore, I'll still want to be down the front. Because I like the front, because where the action is. There's something going on down here. I'm close to the band. I can hear Eunice even better. I can get into it and get involved, lift my hands and begin to worship the Lord. Because I know when I sing, when I worship. I was driving down in the car to come to church today, and I had music playing pretty well, in fact, all the way. I had worship songs playing, 30-minute drive. I thought, I just want to get into the rhythm before I get to church, Lord. Buy Christian music. Get it playing in your home. Get it playing in your bedroom. Get it playing in your car. And when you come to church, do like you did this morning. I was really rapt. You guys were singing. You guys were praising. When there's joy in the house, the presence of God is likely to come upon you. Come with me to Psalm 89. I'm going to see how many reasons I can get through here. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. And again, this is about praise and worship. Who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. Who walk in the light of your presence. Mornings are starting to get a bit darker. Summer's gone. Who's glad summer's gone? Who loves autumn? Everyone loves autumn. Every place you go in the world, autumn is like the favorite sort of time because heat's gone, the freezing cold has not yet turned up, and it's just beautiful days, bit of sunshine, bit of rain, and the mornings are getting darker. And it now starts the few months when you start getting out of bed in the dark. Who finds it's harder? You know, I tend to go a bit earlier than Diane, and I don't put any lights on because I'm a very thoughtful husband. That's why I've been married for 34 years, Charlie. How long have you been married, Charlie? You can't even remember. Look at that out. You should never, never make a joke on someone who's going for the microphone after you. So, little tip. Charlie and I have known each other for 30 years, 31 years, when you first got saved. Helped clean up your life. Would you like to hear a few stories about Charlie's life? I can't remember. I'm too old to remember. So good to see Charlie still walking with the Lord. I'm a good husband, so I get up and I don't switch on all the lights in the bedroom to see where I'm going. I stumble around in the dark, and it's always fun when you get into the walk-in wardrobe in the dark. And you're trying to find, who does it? You're trying to find clothes, and you're trying not to wake up your spouse, and you're trying to be good, and then you're dropping things on the floor, and then after a while you just shut the wardrobe door and turn the jolly light on so you can see what you're doing, because you've picked up your wife's pants and your nice blouse to put on to go down to have breakfast. I love light. I love light. I love light in my home. I love light outdoors. I would hate to live in a world without light. You would see what? Nothing. Absolutely pitch black nothing. The presence of the Lord is designed to give you light, to give you sight, to give you revelation, to see where you're walking, to see where you're going, that your path ahead of you, you'd be able to walk out. And this is quite an amazing thing, that when you open up in a fresh way to the presence of God, God will start to speak to you about your world and about your life. He'll start to give you light in areas of darkness that need to change and need to shift. One of the reasons that we sing and worship as a church, one of the reasons that you're to be a praying believer, is that God can come and speak to you and adjust you and change you and shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. My pastor, the founder of our church, Pastor Frank Holcren, when I was a young pastor, he used to shape me regularly I for years, I reckon I'd just walk into his office and say, Frank, you know, just bend over so you can kick me in the butt one more time and teach me how to be a good pastor. I felt like every week I was in his office and he was shaping me and changing me, and I was just a young tearaway going to take the world for Jesus. And Pastor Frank thought, I need to adjust a few things in this guy's. And one of the things he really adjusted in me, because I was pretty tough on people. I was fairly legalistic and wouldn't suffer fools gladly and just out of the way, we're coming through, watch out sort of attitude. Bit of a go-getter, but probably leaving damaged bodies behind as I came through for Jesus. And I remember Pastor Frank talking to me, you've got to learn to love people. You've got to learn to relate to people and to care for people. And so I worked really hard. After about 5 years of working on this, Pastor Frank pulls me aside one more time and he says, John, I still don't think you're doing this well. I thought, dear God, I didn't say this to Pastor Frank. I just nodded. And then I waited for him to finish. Then I gave him about 4 or 5 reasons of why I disagreed with him. I thought, I've been working at this for a few years now. I'm going to give it back. And he said, he nodded. Okay, all right, cool. We'll leave it at that and so on. Then a few days later, I'm in a seminar. And the seminar was about prayer and waiting on God. And so the guy leading the seminar, he said, we're just going to have a moment here of just hanging with the Lord. And so I thought, oh, fantastic, I love this, this is great. Just close my eyes and start to wait on the Lord. Feel the presence of God. I thought, oh, this is great. Lord, you're just going to bless me and minister to me. And while I'm just waiting for the Lord to speak to me, I have a vision, just boom, picture, and a little movie just runs across the screen of my mind. And I'm sitting at a desk in our office in our church, and I'm banging away on a computer, just banging away on a computer. And someone comes along and starts sitting down next to me. And they start talking to me, and they start to open up really big areas of their heart. And I'm still banging away on the ground. I go, yeah, okay. Banging away on the ground. Yeah. Oh, cool. Oh, that's not good, isn't it? And they're pouring out their heart, and I'm just busy banging away on the computer. I knew immediately what God was saying. Unfortunately, Pastor Frank was right. I was too busy to pay attention to loving people. I was so flat out doing my own thing, and I didn't even know it. I thought I was good. I thought I was going great. And you get in the presence of God. And here's something I've found. When people tell you off, I always find it takes a couple of days to recover. When someone tells you off, you know, someone gives you the truth, you're always, We all do it. We all get defensive, hackles up. Then maybe a couple of days later, maybe they were right, maybe. But don't let them know. Here's the truth I've found. When the Lord gives light, I find that within seconds, I'm going, yep, that's me. Got me? You're right. I need to change. I don't know. That's just. I don't know if that's your experience. I don't know if it's. I don't know. God is so tricky. Who thinks God's cunning? He just comes with His presence, and you're there, just going, "Oh Lord, I love You." Oh no. You're right. Okay, Lord, I need to change. Okay. And what would have taken weeks. Sometimes we need to learn to hear from people and, you know, not get so hung up on it, learn to adjust to it. But I found when God gives light and shows us, and see, in all these situations, one, I was praying. It's to the fact that when you sing and you worship, you're opening up yourself to the presence of God. You know, if in that meeting I had just kind of switched off and went, whatever. No, I decided, God, I want Your presence. Lord, I want You. And I got a real sense in your church at the moment. And I know, you know, Nigel's been talking about what's going on in your church and about just your focus on the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and worship. And I can feel in your church a difference to last year. Just coming, I can sense God on your church, and you're You're in a season. You've entered into a season. You've been led by your pastors really well into the season. Into a season of a time of refreshing from the Lord. And Acts 3:19, this is my last thought, is a great verse. That there are times of refreshing from the Lord. And you're in a season of this. And this word refreshing, I actually checked it out this morning. I thought, I'll just check what the Greek word is for this. And I wrote it down. Literally, this word refreshing, the Greek means to recover your breath. Who's ever had asthma? Who's ever had, a real serious asthma attack? I used to have it as a child, grew out of it, thank goodness. But when you have asthma, it is the most horrific experience to not be able to breathe, to not be able to get air in. You almost want to grab by the handful and shove it down your throat because you're just desperate to get air in there. You just, and you're not sure where that next breath is coming from. It's a terrible, terrible experience. Sometimes in our Christian life, we can feel like we're out of air. We're out of breath. We haven't got the air to get into our lungs to make us go further. And a time of refreshing is given to a church so you get fresh breath. You get a sense of fresh life. It's like you come out of a stuffy room and you go outside and there's fresh air. Suddenly you can breathe again. It's like being cooped up in a plane for how many hours, Susan? A long time. And you suddenly you get out of a plane and you go into an airport and it's still stuffy, back into another plane for a long ride. 24 hours later you walk out of Perth Airport and there's fresh air. You are in a season of fresh air. Right, I believe, and churches go through seasons, and there are seasons when God comes by His Spirit to renew us, to revive us, to refresh us, to revitalize the sense of connection to God and connection to Christ. And I would urge you at this time in this church, if you're a part of this church or if you're thinking about joining this church, that'd be a smart move. You've come at a good time. Somebody joined churches and it's, oh, hello, something going down here. Some good stuff going on in this church at the moment. But I think in this season, it's imperative that you are worshiping church. It's imperative that you're here before 10 o'clock, in here at 10 o'clock, ready to worship, ready to sing, ready to praise the Lord, just like you were this morning. But even amp that up. Kind of grab your friends, anyone who's coming in late, saying, don't come late. Come on, we're all going to be here at 10 o'clock to launch this church because at the moment, this is a season of fresh breath. We're catching our breath again. We're getting wind back in our sails for what God has for us for the future. There's no doubt about what you've done in West Africa. That is going to expand and that is going to increase and that is going to grow. You've paid a price to get into that place. My goodness, it's not like, why didn't the Lord pick France? You know, Paris would have been nice, wouldn't it? I mean, options, here we go. Maybe west coast of Canada, that'd be groovy. Vancouver, hello. West Africa is not the most, it's not the number one tourist destination in the world. That's what I'm saying. Beautiful place. I've been up there in Ghana. Beautiful place, but it's not the most wanted part of the world. You guys have paid a price to go there. And I believe God's putting fresh wind in your sails because of the price you've paid. And also the wind in your sails is going to enable you to complete the assignment God's given you as a church. You have not yet completed the assignment. I see other nations in West Africa that God's going to give you influence in. I see other nations up in that area. Some nations even more difficult to some of the places you've been, if that's possible. But I see God taking you as a church. I see other members of this church. Sorry, what was your name? Renske. Your miracle of finance, I believe that's going to be repeated in this church. I believe when you spoke about it this morning, hearts in here went, oh, could be me. That could happen to me. And some of you have got a hunger for that. And in this season of fresh wind, fresh sails getting filled, There is purpose in that related to West Africa. There's also purpose related to family life. There are a number of you who have got struggles in your family life that you've been battling with for a number of years. This is going to be a season of refreshing in your family. I declare it across a number of you this morning. Some of you have already stood up, but others of you are sitting there saying, yeah, my family's got some issues going on. There is a season of refreshing coming for your family. There is going to come an end of a storm. Some storms are life-threatening, but they're also life-changing. There are some of you who are going to have the end of a storm. Storm's been raging for a number of times in your marriage and your family, and that storm is going to come to an end in this season in your church. So it's vital that you're here in church worshiping, praising, singing with all you've got, that the presence of God can bring you light, the presence of God can bring you joy, the presence of God can bring refreshing and rest. It's also so vital for you to find a place of solitude, of connection with Christ. Close your eyes, pray with me this morning. There's a number of things I want to do, and my time's up. But this morning, a number of you, God is calling you afresh to a place, and I'm not talking about a legalistic have-to-do thing here, but I'm talking about a commitment and a call to a place of solitude in prayer, of finding the Lord, of giving up some TV time, giving up some Facebook time, giving up some friends' time, giving up some time to say, Lord, I'm just going to get alone. Even if you haven't got anywhere at home, just to go and sit in your car somewhere, go for a walk down the park, where it's just you and Jesus Christ. Oh, I know God is calling. God is drawing people this morning. Every eye closed across the building. If that's you and you know you need to make that commitment afresh this morning, raise your hand before the Lord now. Go ahead, raise your hand. Go ahead. Thank you. Raise your hand. Thank you. Raise your hand. Thank you. Raise your hand. Go ahead. Make a fresh commitment to that place of solitude. Make a fresh commitment. Thank you, sir, up the back. Make a fresh commitment this morning. Make a fresh commitment. Young people, make a fresh commitment. Older person, make a fresh commitment this morning. Come on, make a fresh commitment to that place of solitude. Lock that in this morning before the Lord. The Lord's drawing you to it. The Lord's drawing you to that place. The Lord's drawing you to that place. The Lord is drawing you to that place. Make a fresh commitment to it. Go ahead, where you're sitting. Just raise your hand and say, John, thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead, make that commitment. Holy Spirit is drawing you this morning, son. Fresh commitment. You might feel like your commitment's already solid. Make a fresh one today. Make a fresh one today. Commit afresh. God bless you. Thank you. Commit afresh. Thank you. Commit afresh to it. Commit afresh. Decide today. Thank you. Commit afresh today. Come on. Come on. Settle it today. Sort it today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Allow the presence of God to settle on you while we sit in His presence. Allow His presence just to settle on you. God bringing light. God bringing refreshing. God bringing rest. Fresh to you today. Holy Spirit. We love your presence, Lord. We long for your presence, Lord. We long for your presence. We long for your presence. Let his presence settle on you. Let his presence rest upon you. Let there be that deep hunger. God, I want you. Jesus, I want to walk with you. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want you. Precious Lord. Precious Lord. Precious Lord. Let's just stand together and lift our hands towards heaven this morning. Just where you stand, lift your hands high towards heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. Let that presence of God renew you, refill you. Energize you afresh. Fresh sense of God on you. Fresh rest. anxiety gone, agitation gone. Jesus coming close, resting on you, filling you, anointing you. It's a season of connection to God, a season of being with God, a season of linking to God, a season of knowing God, walking with God. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. I want to pray for people this morning. Di and I are going to pray for people who are in pain this morning. If you're in any kind of pain in your body, I want you to come to the front right now. I want to pray especially for someone. You just come. I want to pray especially for someone who's got a kidney condition, someone here today with a kidney condition. I want you to come. There's someone here today with their right shoulder. It's around about your collarbone. It's in your shoulder region. Your right shoulder is in pain. In fact, there are a number of people I feel have got conditions in their right arm, from shoulder right down to their wrist. Got conditions. I want you to come. I want to pray for you today. If you're in pain, any sort of pain, I want you to come. I want you to come. Thank you, Lord. This is the healthiest church in Australia. Honey, I'm going to get you to come lay hands. I want you to reach out your hands towards these folks right now. We're going to pray healing. Come on, pray with me right now. Come on, lift your voice. We're going to pray for healing right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, healing, healing, healing. Come on, pain to go in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray with me. Come on. Come on, help me out here. Pray with me. Father, healing flow in Jesus' name. Healing in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. 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 Pain, depart bodies now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, healing. Presence of God, healing. Healing. Healing flowing. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Holy Ghost, filling, infilling presence of God, 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 Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's just a great sense of God here this morning. Lift your hands again, church, to the Lord. Receive what you need. Some of you need things in the workplace. Some of you need things at home. Some of you need freshness in that walk with God we've been talking about today. Lift your hands high towards heaven today. Father, in the name of Jesus, as people lift their hands, they're lifting their needs before you. Lord, you said, come and pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we ask for our bread. We need bread, Father. We need bread in health. We need bread in the workplace. We need bread at home. We need bread in every area of our life. Bread from heaven, let it come in Jesus' name. Bread from heaven. Father, come by your presence. Renew your presence in these lives, in every soul, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. Thanks, Nigel.